Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 13. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the text. Much like last week's appointed readings, the gospel reading in particular, we have some very challenging words. Last week we heard Jesus say, I came to cast fire on the earth. And that he did not come to bring peace, but division. This week he speaks about those who will be cast out of the kingdom to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they are surprised by their being cast out. I hear these words and I'm reminded of Dante's Inferno. I don't know if you ever read that. It used to be assigned reading in many academic settings back in the day. And if you ever get a chance, I mean, it's a challenging read, but it is interesting. It's a piece of classical literature written in the year 1300 by an Italian named Dante Alighieri. It is a challenge. You got to read all the footnotes for it to make sense. But it's this long poem describing Dante's fictional tour of the nine circles of hell. He also goes on and does purgatory. He is a 14th century Roman Catholic. But he also then goes to heaven and the nine circles of heaven. And that's where we get the cloud nine. It is something that is has been familiar and very much read worldwide over the last 700 or so years. Again, it's not an easy read, but what I love about Dante's Inferno, I didn't read the other two poems on purgatory or heaven, but what I love about the Inferno is that Dante presents the nature of sin and judgment really well. Now, his theology is not extremely sound. He is a 14th century Italian who believes there's purgatory. However, he understands the problem of original sin, keeping us from climbing the mountain up to heaven on our own. And the poem begins with Dante in this rough and stubborn forest, finding his way blocked by three wild animals that represent the sins of lust and pride and fraud. They prevent anyone from attaining righteousness on their own. And on that point, he does all right. Then Dante meets Virgil. Now, Virgil is this ancient Roman poet / philosopher who was the champion of morality and virtue. And the writings of Virgil were standard reading in high school and colleges throughout, even up through the early 1900s. He was very highly regarded, especially by the medieval Christians. And Dante is surprised that Virgil is not in a better place. If Virgil is in hell, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, even though he's in the least hot part of that prison, he's in the first circle, if he is in hell, what does that mean for the rest of us? And Virgil points out that he cannot be Dante's guide in heaven. Because even though Virgil was this outstanding citizen, champion of morality and virtue, he did not know Christ. And he was therefore being justly punished for his sins. In regard to judgment, as they continue their tour, Virgil offers some really great insight as Dante looks sympathetically at some of the people who are being punished. In particular, when he sees the sorcerers and the mediums and the spiritists, you know, those who talk to the spirits during their life, their bodies were twisted in such a way and their heads were wrenched around in such a way that they could not look forward. They could only look backwards. Because during their earthly life, they had attempted to look into the future and talk to the spirits. I mean, they're talking to demons. I hope everyone knows that. But, you know, when people say, oh, they talk to the dead or whatever, you're just talking to demons. Just trust me on that one. And if you don't, I'll put you in touch with Pastor John Dreyer, who spoke here at the Quincy Bible Institute, and he can assure you of that. But anyway, these people who were in the eighth circle of hell, being punished for their dabbling in places where only God belonged, their punishment, in addition to the heat and the other pains of hell, they could never again look forward. The beauty of Dante's insight is that sin is dehumanizing. As I mentioned in my sermon last week, we are told by the world around us that sin is the fun part of life. Dante understands what a great burden sin is upon your soul, here in this world and for those who are unforgiven in the next also. And Dante gazes upon these backward-looking creatures with a sympathetic eye, and Virgil scolds him for questioning God's righteous judgment. One of my favorite parts of the book. Virgil is absolutely right. God's judgments are just and right and fair. And as Jesus says, there will be many people on the last day who will be shocked when he rightly and fairly says to them, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Now, there is a part of God's judgment that is absolutely unfair. And that's the judgment God the Father made upon his Son. It was completely unfair that, as St. Paul says, he who was without sin became sin for us. It is completely unfair that the sinless Son of God was mocked, beaten, spit upon, nailed to a cross to die, enduring the judgment of God the Father upon all the sin of mankind. It is completely unfair that in exchange for my sin being placed upon him, he placed his righteousness upon me, and that I am called the child of God when he, on the cross, was forsaken by the Father. On that last day, when that narrow door into the kingdom of God is closed forever, we will not get what we deserve. God will not be fair. We will be allowed to remain in the presence of Christ, in the kingdom of God, adopted as a child of God, receiving new resurrected bodies. We who should be last, we who have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone, we along with, as Jesus says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom, we will be first in the eyes of God. As God's baptized children, we truly are the most fortunate people on earth. Even if we are not blessed with an overabundance of worldly possessions, you know, in the context of the Western culture in which we live, I mean, we have to understand that even with the economic turmoil we've had of late, we still live like kings compared to most of the world. But even if everything we own were taken away, we still would be the most fortunate people on earth, because we have passed through the narrow door. And being a narrow door, you can't load up and take anything with you anyway. So the only thing of value we have in this life that we will take with us is the faith founded on the Word of God. It's the only thing we can take out of this life. It's a narrow door. In Dante's depiction of hell, the sinners being tormented, they lay the blame on no one's shoulders but their own. It's one of the great insights in Dante's writings. All who are in hell being judged recognize that God has been fair with them for placing them where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no excuse, oh, the devil made me do it. In God's fairness to them, everyone is rightly held accountable for their sin, which is why it is such good news that Christ has opened that narrow door through his death on the cross, through his empty tomb. Sin, death, and Satan do not have hold of us anymore. And as Jesus says, it is God's will, being merciful, gracious, abounding in steadfast love, that he draws people from the east and the west and the north and the south. We'd say even some from the Midwest. And we take our place at the feast which has no end. Until that time, we get a foretaste of that feast in the body and blood of Christ himself, broken and shed for you. The promise of life and salvation in Christ is here for you to receive. You have a Savior in Christ our Lord who has rescued you, welcomed you to take your place at his table. He calls you his own. You have the inheritance of a son. That's what the letter to the Hebrews was getting at in our epistle reading. In the ancient world, the sons received the inheritance. Whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, as Paul says, you have the full rights of sons. You have the full right to sit at the head table in the kingdom of God. You have the full right to join at the Lord's table here within the kingdom of God, in the church on earth, and one day in the church triumph. You have this right because he has called you his own. He knows your name. He knows where you come from. And we gather together and rejoice that we have a loving, merciful, gracious God. We rejoice that God is simply not fair. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.